This week's episode is sponsored by Door Insurance Group, protecting families, securing assets, and helping you hashtag insure the bag when it comes to your life, property, auto, and commercial business needs.
What's going on, everybody, and welcome to another episode of your favorite podcast, Real Talk Atlanta. We're your hosts, River the Realtor.
I'm Ashley Lorray.
I'm Taisha Renee.
And I'm Nika W.
And y'all, this is kind of like a quick but unconventional episode of Real Talk Atlanta, because I think with the buyer success stories, a lot of people have been like, all right, how can I really step into this? And so although we've done an episode pretty much talking about how you can get into home ownership and buying, we're going to do what we call like a Real Talk refresher and kind of give y'all those key points and key things that you need to be looking for or doing if you're looking into getting into home ownership, right?
Yeah.
So the peak of the week is that people want to buy homes, and today we're going to educate y'all.
Period.
So let's just dive right into the topic. I think the very, very, very first thing, and one of the first things I ask on my console is, what are you working at these days? Employment is a really, really big thing because, you know, you have to give your taxes, and it has to be for the last 2 years, whether you're W-2 or you're 1099. So employment is one of the very first things that we kind of confirm before we can get you pre-approved for a home loan.
And keeping in mind that 2 years is not 2 years at the exact same job, but ideally 2 years in the same industry. So like, you don't want to be a teacher and then go and be a nurse.
Right.
Because it's like, it doesn't show consistency in your employment. So just making sure, like, if you're switching jobs, just making sure it's in the same industry.
Yeah.
It's in the same field.
Yeah.
Yep.
And keep those employment gaps really, really short, right? For previous years, in case if they have to go back a couple years to make it work.
Yeah, if you have an employment gap, typically what we'll look for, especially like if COVID affected your job or anything like that, if you were off work for 2 months, we just want to see you on, you know, your current employment for 2 months. Mm-hmm. And then filing your taxes, right? A lot of times with self-employed people, we get this like, oh, I make all the money in the world, but if you didn't file the taxes, you didn't make the money.
Right.
Okay, if it's not on paper, it never happens. So if you are self-employed, we encourage you to go file your taxes. Make sure you have 2 years of consistent 1099 income and do not write everything off. Business owners, I know y'all love that. I made $200,000.
Look at me when you say that. I need to hear you say that.
Business owners, I know y'all love this. I made $200,000, but if you had $190,000 worth of business expenses, you actually only made $10,000 and you cannot buy a home. So just be mindful, consistent income, consistent tax history, and make sure you have good taxable income that we can go off of.
I know this is something we may have mentioned before. Of course, you want to follow your dreams. If your dream is to own your own business, start your own company, that's cool and all. But if you have a W-2, get your house first before you do that, okay?
Buy your house.
Major
and chase your dream.
Exactly. So many people are so quick to quit their jobs. Like, I'm going to start my business, but I want to buy a house. Well, you should have kept your job to do that.
It's way easier. It's way easier to do that.
Anything that you do, though, you can go back and get a W-2. Because
I did.
I was like, let me get the W-2 so I can get the house and then peace out.
Yeah, we don't want you to start over.
If you are in a W-2 role and you have that consistent income, literally buy your house, then go chase your dream. We all for entrepreneurship here, okay?
Yes.
So kind of moving forward, I think another really, really big question that we always ask is, I try to keep it cute. Where are, you know, at or about, where does your credit fall?
Where do you think you are? Where's the last thing you are?
In a range.
You know where you are. So kind of talk a little bit about the credit requirements and like what they can be expecting.
Yeah, I always tell my clients, I used to say 620, but now I've started saying 640. Just because, again, the better the credit, the better your interest rate. And I heard that that's kind of changing, but we'll get into that later. But with the increase in interest rates, the better the credit, just the better the credit.
For sure.
So although FHA can accept it to 580 and conventional can do 620, just try to have it over a 640 to be safe, you know, just in the event something happens.
Yeah, exactly. With credit history is also important, right? Making sure that credit history is not really low, because then they don't want you to open a new card, you know, be added to a trade line and all that stuff. So as well, the credit score could be right at 640 or right at 580, but if you don't have enough credit history to back that up, then it's
raise red flags.
Yeah.
Something that really, a piece that I've always taken with me, and this was like when we first started the show. Y'all remember when we had Tanya Blanchard on the show?
Shout out to her.
But something that she mentioned, and they see this when they run your credit and they look at your file, they see if on any of your bank accounts, if you've had insufficient funds within the last year.
Or late payment.
Exactly, that too. So
overdrafts.
Yeah, all of that. So if you are someone and you know, because y'all know, they send the email, you know if you had an insufficient funds or late fee, whatever it could be. And her advice was, if you do have that within the last year, they recommend just close the account.
Close it out.
Just close it. Act like you never knew her. Just close it.
Navy vet. Who's that? Literally, if you do have anything that will show on your credit report, late payments, insufficient funds, or anything like that, close that account, start fresh, start new, and make sure you always have enough, you know, saved up to kind of cover any auto payments or auto bills that'll be coming out.
Yeah.
But I think Taisha brings up a good point. We are in a high interest rate state of the market right now. So the higher your credit, the better rate you have. And in turn, the better rate you have, the better mortgage payment you'll get.
Yeah, the more you can afford.
The more you can afford. Yeah. So keep your credit score, like I said. I think I say 620. Ideally, I would love for you to have a 640. Anything above that is just
700.
Yeah.
800.
Okay.
Anything off above
the chart. That's important.
Right. Anything above that, I think, is just added fuel to the fire. But definitely want to get yourself in what we like to call qualifying range, which I think 620 to 640 is going to be really good for
that.
Yeah,
that's
good because y'all know even like mortgage credit scores are a little different than what like it shows on Experian or whatever.
Yeah,
sometimes it's a little lower. A couple
Don't tell
lower.
Me what you saw on Credit Karma.
Yeah.
Right.
Not the
Can't
same.
Can't do nothing with that.
Well, we'll link some free resources to get your actual mortgage credit score so you guys can kind of see where you are before you know, reach out to a realtor about what it is you want to do.
Yep.
So I think inherent in credit score is something else, you know, I say it all the time, but, you know, you got to pay to play. And when you buy a home, of course, there are going to be some out-of-pocket things. So we also asked your assets, right? How much do you have saved up? You know, if you find the home you want to close on today, how much money can you really give towards that? And so what do you guys think about in terms of savings, how much they should have?
I say anything above $30,000 is great to start.
Oh,
$30,000. And I'm not talking about just incentives. You know, of course, we can help you get those, like the closing costs and the deals and all that stuff. But I feel like after you moved in the house, it's so many things that you still want to have that cushion saved.
Right.
Right.
And you still want to not feel like, because I hate going through the process where you're like, I just have enough to make it. And that makes it very stressful and it not really a smooth transition.
Not flexible enough.
Not flexible enough, but also it becomes a little stressful on the buyers. I can feel it because it's like they're fighting for their lives. It's like, after I buy this house, like I have to save my whole savings.
I can't
all over
eat.
Again. I would rather for you to just be comfortable.
Be comfortable.
Ready.
Yeah.
You know, you have enough money, even though we're not going to use the whole $30,000.
You don't want to be house poor.
You're going to be more happy going through. Like if I say, hey, I'm 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late, you're not going to get mad because... No, because
when people spend their last, I think it does kind of bring on a different thing. I will say this. I think $30,000 is a little steep, so I would probably contest that a little bit. I'm more of a percentage girl, right? I think the percentage is going to be a little different. I think someone who's buying $1 million asset versus a $250,000 asset, what you need to save is a little bit different. I would say 6% of everything because I think that will encompass a down payment and closing costs, and that also doesn't take into account the incentives we negotiate on your behalf. Right. We're in a market that it's not easy to buy a house. So if you get in the house, we're going to get you something on the back end. So I think 6% of the sales price. But to Nika's point, you don't want to be house poor, right? You don't want to buy a home. And I think we've said this a million times. And all you can afford to do is live in
the home. Right, right.
Exactly.
A house is nice, but a couch goes a long
way. And then when I said $30,000, I'm saying to start out on this market. Regardless, like if we're on a lower price point, I'm just saying to start out.
I know I definitely didn't have $30,000. Anything when I bought my first home.
I didn't. Yeah. I was gonna say the same thing. I give percentages. Whatever you're shopping at, it's a percentage. I do 6 or 7%, which of course you guys should know covers your down payment, your closing costs, your home inspection, and your home appraisal. The four things that you're covering before you get into the house. And I always say, even if you're not going to spend it all, you want a little bit of cushion because you got to get some furniture. You may need to do a little bit of work if it's not, you know, up to par depending on your price point. So I do always say percentage as well. 6 to 7%.
I always say 7% as well. And I think, and if you checked out our last episode, Nika, you mentioned how you had a client who did down payment assistance. That was Taisha. They had down payment assistance and the program ended up running out of money before closing. Like, I think a lot of clients, if they're using down payment assistance, they think that they don't have to have the funds saved, and that's just not the case.
Of course,
it's there to utilize as a resource, but you still want to have your ducks in a row. You still need money saved, even if you're using down payment assistance. Don't just rely on that. Of course, it's nice to have, but, you know, anything could happen. I always say 7%. typically they'll probably use about 6%, but there are unexpected expenses.
Exactly.
That come
you
up
do not want to be 100% dependent on anything or anyone, whether it's a seller, down payment assistance, none of that.
And then now lenders, right. Because now lenders are asking for cushions, like really big cushions that they don't need for you to close, but they just want to see it in your bank account.
Yep. And the good thing is, I think a lot of people, especially if you're a first time home buyer, you may not know this, but you don't necessarily have to have that money in your bank account. If you have a 401k, you can use that.
Yeah, sure.
If you have different assets.
You can get gift funds. Gift funds.
Exactly, gift funds as well. You know? So there is a little bit of flexibility. You don't have to have that money just sitting in your account. If you have other assets or resources, you can
give
use that.
Give us a call. Yeah. We'll take the shot.
Yeah. I think home buying is like the perfect example of the more the merrier. Right. You can have 6%, but if you have 12%.
Great.
I think we love that even more. So I think I have to bring back my famous line. Y'all know, if y'all want to keep it at 43. So debt to income. We talk a lot about debt to income ratio, and basically what that looks like is when you're getting pre-approved for a mortgage, we have to make sure that you can pay it, right? Mm-hmm. What a lender is going to look at is, okay, you might make $10,000 a month, but who else has to get paid before you can pay a mortgage? If you owe Peter, Paul, Nika, Ashley, and Taisha, well, hold on.
I'm going to want my money.
Yeah, I want my money too. So what a lender is basically trying to figure out is, how much debt do you have in relation to how much you make? How much more debt can we give you on a monthly basis for you to be able to pay that mortgage? So debt to income, if you take what you make and divide it by, you know, your expenses, you want to be at or below 43% of that.
Yeah, that's I always tell my clients.
I always say that people don't realize that the DTI is usually what trips people up the most. Like, that's the one that they're like, oh, I didn't expect that. But what I do like about when you're working with a good partner is, if the DTI isn't in the perfect place, it's fixable. Like, the lender will give you a mortgage ready plan that'll say, because a lot of people think, I have to pay off this full balance for me to qualify. Most times you just have to pay it down, maybe $500, and it'll get you where you need to be. So I like how, if you don't meet the DTI, there could be a way that you can get there if you just didn't, you know, just buy a car.
I love that point.
You know what I'm saying? Something like that. It's a way you can get it.
I love that point, because I just did this, a consultation with one of my lenders. He literally pulled up the whole calculator that they use, their whole system. He was like, okay, if you pay this off, pay this off, pay this off. And I had one client, like, she didn't have a lot of debt, but she just purchased a car because she got in an accident, and that was the only thing that was holding her back.
Car notes, student loans.
Yeah. Student loans.
I'm glad you mentioned. That's what I was going to say.
It's very important. If you just purchased a car, fortunately, but if your income is great and can, you know, balance it off, it's fine, but definitely wait after
purchase
that.
Purchase the car after closing. Car. As soon as you leave the closing table, go get you a car.
Get it after.
They don't care.
Some people, that's what you did.
I closed on Thursday. I was at Mercedes on Friday. Give me my key.
I think something that's good to know, a lot of people don't know this, but if your car note has less than 10 payments, they don't include that in your DTI. So that's pretty cool.
I didn't even know that.
That's nice.
Yeah, if it's less than 10 payments left on your car, they're not going to include that in your DTI.
I have plenty.
Yeah, I got a couple years. What I was going to mention, a good thing about, or not a good thing, but a lot of people think that if they have student loans like myself, that they wouldn't be able to qualify, because as we all know, student loans are not cheap. They're thousands of dollars, depending on your what you went to school for, how long you went to school. It can get pretty hefty, more than what you may even make in a year. But just because you have student loans doesn't mean that you won't be able to qualify for a home. Something that's good to note is that a lot of people, even like myself, my student loans are on deferment right now, so I don't have to pay for them. But if you want to purchase a home, if your student loans are currently on deferment, most likely the lender is going to ask that you get on a payment plan, because, again, they need to run the scenarios. Exactly. An income-based payment plan. Usually my clients will just choose the cheapest payment plan, you know, as long as they can afford it, because the lender needs to see once you
how
get
much
in the
you
house.
Need to account for.
Right.
Exactly. Because you can get in the house. If they just imagine you, they calculate it without your student loans and everything's fine, then you add a couple hundred dollars and now you have to eat ramen noodles. Like, they
you
need
went
to be
from 43 to 47.
Exactly.
I love noodles, but I like
don't
want to
eat them
every
day.
Right. I think Ashley and Taisha kind of both brought up two quick things. And I think these are good nuggets for, like, student loans. So I think that's one of the things that knocks a lot of people out. One, income-based repayment plan. So for people who are coming out of college, especially, a lot of y'all graduate with no jobs. Trust me, I did too. Get on an income-based repayment, because guess what? You don't have no income, okay? You're looking at a very, very low debt. The thing about deferment is, your loans are in deferment, as long as you can show that they'll be in deferment for up to 12 months after you close, then they won't count that either. So if you do have these debts, I think Nika, again, brought up a good point. Don't try to figure it out yourself. Don't start paying stuff off. Like, I feel like if I do this, contact a lender. Let them give you a full mortgage plan and tell you, here are the debts that are conducive to you getting into a good DTI space and getting a good pre-approval. Because I love to pay off a bill and then free up $22.
Now you can't buy a washer, dryer, no fridge.
Right, you can't even buy a house. Listen, reach out to the professionals. Let them give you a real outlook scenario. And overview in a scenario of what that's going to look like. So we talked about credit, employment, DTI, assets. Is there any like
those are four last gems.
Nugget? I think that's the biggest one. Be you ready. If you're not ready, just close out, exit. That ain't even it. I think the biggest one is that if you are looking to purchase, you need to find a very trusted real estate professional. Yes.
That's a given. You know,
But look, we're in the era of DIY. Everybody think they can do it just themselves. That's not the case. I think we talk about this a lot, but like Georgia is one of those places where there's no buyer attorney. There's no seller attorney. We all you got.
You need us.
You need us. You met your realtors. It's important.
Even if your realtor is not one of us, which again would be a little crazy. Make sure y'all vetting the realtors and understanding, you know, what it is they can bring to the table, what they can offer you if they do have services and products like down payment assistance or do have like, you know, lenders that'll hop in and give you guys mortgage plans. All those things are very, very important and they're necessities, I feel like, to buy a house. So
absolutely.
Save. Yeah. Those are the gems. Four things to keep in mind.
Yep.
Write it down if you didn't.
Write it down.
Write it down if you didn't. And then call us when you're ready.
Call us when y'all ready. You got a lot of brand new houses that just hit the market. Inventory is
lit.
Inventory lit, especially if you us.
Okay.
We know where to find it.
We know where it's at.
Yeah, if y'all looking to buy a house, y'all know exactly what to do. Follow these. I think we can at least kick it off to our favorite segment of the day.
Question of the day.
Of course you can.
We're real today. Like, come on.
We did.
Straight to the point.
Yeah. Favorite segment, the question of the day. So if this is your first time tuning in, we have the segment. It's called the question of the day, where we take questions from you guys, our audience, and you can submit them to us via Instagram. So be sure to follow us at Real Talk Atlanta or shoot us an email at realtalkatlpod@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. So this is more of a personal question because I feel like the last couple of weeks we've been talking about business a little too much.
Business is business.
But let's get a little spicy.
Okay.
Oh, God.
It's nothing crazy. Y'all know how I get. But the question for this week is, I want to know, what are y'all's biggest pet peeves? What is like an ick?
Oh, a real estate ick or like a personal ick?
No, let's get personal. I don't like when people smack on their food, so there's that. I hate that.
That's a dig.
Yeah. Oh, mine might be a little dig. I hate when people are late.
Okay. Oh, I do. Taisha, if you hate me, just say that.
People are late and then they don't tell you that they're going to be late.
Cause look, Taisha.
I was here early today. Be respectful of my time.
She was here early today, but that's because she got the call time wrong. Exactly. Let's be clear. She thought call time was 12:30. It was 2.
Y'all need to do that every week.
No.
I'm always on time. If I'm not on time, I'm texting the crew like, oh my God, I'm nervous.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
be
a little tardiness.
But like, just let people know. That's kind of my ick. Be on time.
Okay.
My ick is, what is my ick? I feel like when, what do you call, entitlement.
Oh, that's a good
this
one.
This is personal.
Like period. You think because you did, you're supposed to have this?
Yes, or not even. It's just like, I'm a giver, so I give a lot, right? Mm-hmm. So when you kind of like, oh, why you ain't do this? It's just...
Who did? I told y'all to stop messing with this girl.
I just don't like it because I give, and I know when exactly to give. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when you're entitled to it, I don't want
to
give.
And
no
you shouldn't give to expect something.
You know, it's just like, you messed it up. I had all this stuff planned in my head.
Now
you
don't get nothing.
Yeah. Child, this question is very hard. Y'all know I'm icky vicky, baby. Everything gets on. Everything make me mad. I lead a group chat. These ladies can do anything. I will lead a group chat.
She was like, lunch?
Yeah, they was eating lunch without me.
Y'all just went to lunch without us.
The group chat. But I think I would probably say my biggest ick. Y'all, my Chicago is coming out. I don't like people playing in my face. And what I mean by that is like
this.
Now that might get you
funny.
But I think playing in my face, like, I'm a very smart girl. a very smart girl. So it kind of bothers me when people do stuff and they think they being slick and getting away with it. You're like, you a lot of things smarter than me, just not one of them.
Period.
Mm-hmm. Playing in my face is like, I'm gonna play with you, but like in the back of my head, like I have a very like elaborate plan about how I'm gonna get back. And like once I have to have get back with you, like I'm gonna be getting at you forever.
Not Miss Get Back.
Me and your kids gonna have get back. Like,
that's what Jocelyn said.
Once we got beef, we gonna beef. Chill, and that's the thing
about your doormat back.
Just be nice to me. Okay, right? Somebody who stole my doormat, just know. Anyway, don't play with me, y'all. Don't play with me. I don't play with y'all. I think I keep it real fair. I keep it peak. I keep
all of this. Basically, don't smack around, Ashley. Don't be late when you're dealing with me. Don't feel like you're entitled with Nika. And please,
how are we trying to do anything? It's a catch 22.
No, it's a catch 22 because every ick y'all have, like, y'all do it to each other.
We just need to have a conversation off camera.
We haven't team bonded. So if y'all got some team bonding activities, leave them in the comments. But as usual, y'all, we really appreciate y'all tuning in. If you are a new buyer, you're just interested in purchasing, please take these tips and do not take them lightly. If you guys have questions, always reach out to us. Y'all know the girls love to have a good conversation. And save. Keep your debt low. Keep your credit good. And call us.
And because let's get it done before the end of the year or next year.
Yes. The time is now.
The time is now. Time is past.
So, yes. We will see y'all next week. Every Wednesday, y'all know where to find us. Real Talk Atlanta. We love y'all.
Bye.
Today's topic might be at its end, but the conversation never stops. If you liked what you heard, make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
For more daily content from the ladies of Real Talk Atlanta, head over to any of our social media platforms to connect with us and let's talk.
As we put the real in real estate.